but deadly.
With the beauty of makeup.
Meets a horror of true crime. With Chuck.
And Liz.
Okay, so today's going to be a short episode since last time was
quite long. As fuck.
Yes. All right. So on either the 29th or the 30th of October, 2016, a user by the name Jason in Hell makes a post on the subreddit Relationship Advice. Relationship Advice.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. It's titled, I'm 30M, having a hard time coping with my wife, 29F, having cheated on me with our neighbor, 51M. It has been 476 days since I confronted her about it. How did I know? Because every time I catch myself thinking about it, I tell myself, it's only been X days, maybe you won't think about it tomorrow.
Sir?
So to go back to the beginning, I had just taken on a new project and new responsibilities at work. I was working a lot of hours, 60 plus per week. It was noticeably stressed. It was in May of 2015 that I noticed that she had added a new password to her phone. When confronted about it, she told me it was because she was planning my Father's Day present and didn't want me to ruin the surprise.
That's kind of fucked.
About a week later, she came to me and told me that she felt guilty keeping a big secret from me and told me that she was having our neighbor, a contractor, build a home office for me as a my present. It struck me as odd. As in our 6 years together, she had never said she felt guilty about anything and always insisted that she never regrets anything in her life. Time goes on. Her phone is still password protected and things don't feel right. I see her using her phone and smiling to herself more and more often. When I ask her what she's doing, she says nothing and puts her phone away. So one morning, I wait for her to get in the shower and I grab her phone before it requires the password. I go through her messages and find that she is texting the neighbor. I'm still covered in frosting. You want to lick it off? There was no other messages to the neighbor, but I found out later that this was because she had set up her phone to delete messages after a certain amount of time. I felt uncomfortable with it, but I knew she had a perverted sense of humor, and I thought she would never do anything to hurt me. More time goes by, and the neighbor is spending more and more time at our house, but the office is being completed slower and slower. I can't help but worry that something isn't right, so I start checking her location using Google Timeline. It was at this point that I realized that there are large gaps in her GPS history because she was turning off her phone's GPS. Fast forward to July, and at this point, the paranoia is driving me nuts. So I tell her that I need to install new antivirus on her phone. While she has it unlocked for me, I install anti-theft software so I can remotely turn the GPS back on and set up AT&T message backup and restore so I can read all of her text messages from my computer.
He's a whole investigator.
The next day, my mother asks to spend time with my two kids, so my wife drops them off at hers and has a day to herself. I watch my wife's activity from work as she spends the day trying to meet up with the neighbor, but is unsuccessful because he's busy with another job site. That night, we get the kids back from my mom's house, and we go out to dinner with the neighbor, his girlfriend, and his son. My wife and his girlfriend are having a good time drinking, laughing, and just joking around. His girlfriend mentions that they would like to see Magic Mike XXL, and I say it's a good idea. I'll watch the kids so my wife and her can go. So my wife and her go, and the neighbor and I go back to my house so the kids can play video games together. The kids are back in my son's room playing video games, and the neighbor is sitting across from me on the other couch. It is at this point that my wife starts texting him. She's describing sex acts she would like to perform with him, and he is reciprocating. She tells him to check his Snapchat, and at the same time, I get a Snapchat from her too, and it is her fingering herself in the bathroom stall. They keep talking, trying to figure out when they can meet up and have sex. They decide on Monday morning after I go to work. So in my head, I had already planned to pretend to leave and circle back to catch them. But then they tell each other that they love each other and it is all I can do to not leap off the couch and not come out. But I contain myself and continue reading, the conversation unfolding in front of me. Then he tells her, "You're my girl now," to which she replies, "Always have been," ending with him writing, "And always will be." My wife and his neighbor's girlfriend return from the movie and I ask them politely to sit down. I then ask the kids to stay in my son's room and shut the door. I return to the living room and confront my wife and neighbor, and I say, "So you two love each other, huh?" My wife goes into full-blown denial mode, and the neighbor's girlfriend starts smacking him. I ask my wife if she has been texting him. She says no. So I show her the text messages. She admits to it but says it was the first time it had gone that far. I ask my wife if she had sent him pictures. She says no. So I show her the picture. She admits it but says it was the first time. I ask her if she's having sex with him, and she says no. Because I didn't wait to catch them having sex together, I didn't have evidence to prove her wrong, so that one stayed unresolved. I tell her that I'm leaving her. She tells me that she will make sure I never see my kids again if I do. She planned on using the fact that I had attempted suicide in high school to prove me unfit to have the children. She continues to say that it was my fault for being busy with work and stressed out, that she wanted someone she could talk to. Then she gives me an ultimatum to decide what I'm going to do, or she will decide for me. The neighbor's girlfriend starts defending the two of them, saying that it couldn't have been serious, that they weren't having sex, and that my wife and I were too perfect together to let this break us up. The neighbors go home, and my wife and I argue for the rest of the night about what we're going to do. We go to bed separately, having not resolved anything. We go back and forth on the subject all weekend and finally settle. We're going to separate temporarily while we figure out what we want. I was going to stay in the house, and she was going to take the kids and go to her mom's house. That Monday, I go to work, and I get a text from her in the middle of a meeting with my bosses, stating that she had explained things to our kids, but they were upset, and I needed to explain it to them also. I got home from work to find my kids crying. She had told them that mommy had to move out because dad was mad at her. When my son wanted to stay with me, she told him that he can't. My son put it together that if mommy has to move out because I'm mad at her, and he must move out, then I must be mad at him too.
That's so fucked.
My daughter was crying because my son was. I don't think she was old enough to understand what was happening. It was at that moment I realized she was going to drag the kids through hell if I left her. So I swallowed my feelings and begged her to stay. She agreed and insisted that I apologize to our neighbor since we were going to need to hang out with him because our sons are good friends.
What the fuck?
I hate it, but I do it anyway. We still hang out with them from time to time, and they come to our various birthdays and holiday parties. But I do anything for my kids, and I behave civil every time. Things die down for a while. I still think about it constantly. I worry how I can keep from making her so unhappy that she cheats on me again. Then almost a year from the original incident, around Father's Day again, she sends him pictures again. She claims it was an accident, that she meant to send them to me instead. I don't fully believe her, but I move on anyways. Things have been quiet on that front for about 4 months now, but I still think about it constantly. This is going to sound stupid, but I feel like I have a part of my brain that I can't shut off, that is always thinking. I used to use that to solve programming problems, and it made me very good at my job. But ever since this incident, the only thing it thinks about is her and him, and if I did the right thing. My job performance has suffered, and I feel like I haven't gotten sleep in months. I'm afraid that after this much time and the fact I begged her back, that to say that I want a divorce now would only make her more vindictive towards my children and I. I just feel like I have put myself so deep in a hole that I can never get back out. I haven't really talked to anyone about this. I didn't want to talk to my mom about it because I felt she would treat my wife differently, and I didn't need the two fighting any more than they already do. I tried talking to one friend about it, but his advice was to put my trust in God, but that was too much solace for me as I'm an atheist. It was not much solace for me. So I have no clue what to do with my feelings or how to move on from this.
Fuck that bitch. You're gonna cheat and then be like, I'm taking the kids from you. Fuck you. You're not gonna get to see your kid and blah, blah, blah. And I'm gonna use your suicide attempt against you.
And apologize to the neighbor. Some of the top comments read, quote, you're trying to navigate this alone and you should seek counsel ASAP. You should have done this months ago. Your wife's threats should hold no weight until you can get a professional legal opinion on your exposure in a divorce. Don't be doing your children any favors by remaining in a marriage that is now founded on lies, infidelity, and outright bullying. She made you apologize to your neighbor, and you did it? Come on, man. You cannot honestly say that you see any sort of future here that isn't a hell on earth for you. So for your sake and for the sake of your children, get a lawyer ASAP and follow his directions to the letter.
100%.
Another one said, quote, oh dear God, if I went through this shit, there'd be a dead neighbor buried in my backyard. All jokes aside, I feel for you, bro, and I can't fathom how you must have felt over the past 476 days. It seems your wife didn't even feel all that remorseful. She just guilt-tripped you into keeping her. Fuck, dude, I don't know if I'm in any position to give any advice, but dump that bitch, man. Fuck, this story is so fucked. It's been a year and a bit. Maybe your kids are older and can understand a divorce. I'd fight for custody if I were you. You have the evidence to do so. Good luck, man. Fuck that bitch.
Me.
End quote. Staying in a marriage for the sake of your children never works out.
Mm-hmm.
The general advice was to get a lawyer for a divorce and custody and to go to therapy.
Fair.
He then updated on November 1st, 2016 with a post titled, Update, I'm Taking Your Advice. In this post, he wrote, quote, instead of trying to fix something that she doesn't want to fix, she has refused counseling several times in the past before this even happened. I'm going to get myself out and my kids out. I meet with an attorney next week. Thank you, everyone, for helping me see how far I have my head up my ass, end quote.
Why do I feel like I know where this goes?
I feel like maybe through the Reddit grapevine. I've heard about the story before, but never actually read it.
On the 15th, he officially served the divorce papers. On November 17th, a woman named Brandy Worley murdered her two children. This was the user Jason and Hal's wife. That night, after the daughter's dance recital, they went home and ate dinner. Shortly after, Brandy said she was going to pick up pipe cleaners for one of her son's school projects. There, she brought the murder weapon, a Kabar combat knife. After coming home, she hid the knife in her son's room for later. The police report says that that night, the family played together, Jason bathed the kids and put them to bed, and said that he loved them and would see them in the morning. After, Brandy told Jason to sleep on the couch for the night, but he ended up sleeping in the basement instead. After he fell asleep, Brandy brought Tyler, her son, into Charlie, her daughter's room, saying that they were all going to have a sleepover. She first stabbed Tyler while Charlie was asleep. During the attack, Charlie asked her mom what she was doing, and Brandy told her to go back to sleep. She then stabbed Charlie. Lastly, she stabbed herself in the neck. After this, Brandy called 911 and reported the murders. I will play you the 911 call.
Montgomery County 911, where's your emergency?
203 South Madison Street.
In what town?
Darlington.
Hey, what's going on there?
I just stabbed myself and I killed my two children.
You stabbed yourself and killed your two children?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what's your name?
Brandy Worley.
Brandy what?
Worley.
Okay. How do you spell your last name?
W-O-R-L-E-Y.
And where are the children at?
In my daughter's room on the floor.
In your daughter's room on the floor? Okay. What's your phone number, Brandy? You to do this today?
My husband wanted a divorce and wanted to take my kid. I won't let him have my kid.
Okay, and how old are your children?
7 and 3.
10 and 3?
7.
7 and 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And where did you stab yourself at?
In the neck.
Okay. Are you bleeding?
Yeah, there's blood everywhere.
Okay, and where are you at?
In my living room.
You're in your living room?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and are you armed now with the knife still?
No, it's in my children's room.
November 17, 2016, 4:36:21.
Okay, are you still there? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, where's your husband at?
Downstairs somewhere.
Okay, what's his condition?
I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
And when you say downstairs, is he in a basement or...
Yeah.
November 17, 2016, 4:36:51.
Okay, what's his name?
Jason.
Is what?
Jason.
Nathan?
Jason.
Jason? Jason Worley?
Yeah.
And do you have any other weapons with you?
No.
No? Okay. And what are you feeling right now? Are you tired? Are you worried?
I took a lot of Benadryl.
You took a lot of Benadryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
November 17, 2016, 4:37, 49.
Is the front door unlocked?
No, we don't use it.
You know, you just use the back door?
Yeah. Side. It's on the side. It's unlocked.
Okay. And is there anyone else in the residence besides your children and you and your husband?
I called my mom.
You called your mom? What did she say?
I hang up and call 911 and see if we hear in a second.
What's your mom's name?
Rosemary Zell.
Can you spell that for me?
The last name?
I'm having a hard time hearing you. What did you say your mom's name was?
Rosemary Zell.
Rosemary Odell?
Zell.
Zell, okay. Rosemary Zell, okay. Do you have a phone number for her?
Oh, my fucking God.
As you heard in the call, Tyler was only 7 and Charlie was only 3. Brandy later said that she had taken a lot of Benadryl and was just blank during the call. Brandy said that she had already called her mom, who was on her way over, unaware of what had happened. The dispatcher wasn't sure of the legitimacy of the claim and asked Brandy's mom to check on the kids. The grandmother found them dead, and it was her screaming that finally woke up Jason. Reportedly, Brandy said to Jason, "Now you can't take the kids from me." Police then arrived, and both kids were found to have 3 deep stab wounds into the neck, and they were dead on arrival. Jason described Tyler as a loving, energetic first grader who loves sports. Walk into a room of 20 strangers and walk out 20 new friends. And Charlie was sassy and loved dressing up and having her hair braided. Brandy was taken to the hospital for her neck wound and then taken to jail and charged with 2 counts of felony murder. Originally, she pleaded not guilty and a trial was scheduled. She then changed this to pleading guilty as part of a plea agreement. On March 19th, she was sentenced to 65 years for the murder of Charlie and 55 for murdering Tyler, a total of 120 consecutive years. Jason said, quote, "All I want and have ever wanted was to have her out of my sight and mind so that I may move forward from this horror." He made one final Reddit update on June 22nd, 2018. He wrote, quote, "I guess the first question to answer is how I am doing. And to that, I would say I am doing well. I have bad days, but I would think that it is to be expected. It is important that I or anyone going through something continue to use the support of friends and family as well as good coping skills to not let myself be completely defeated on those bad days. I won't lie. I struggle to get back to where I am. For some time, I refused to sleep because of the combination of fear of what I would wake up to and nightmares about that night. For a time, I used alcohol to sleep, but my family loved me enough to take it from me before it became a damaging and permanent habit. I was hospitalized because I did have thoughts of ending my life because I missed my children so much. From that, I learned that you should never be ashamed of your mental health, and not seeking treatment will only make it worse, not better. I've all heard it, but if you or a loved one is struggling, seek help, seek immediate assistance. Your life is too important to throw away in a moment of weakness. By putting off treatment, I only caused everything else in my life to suffer. I lost my job and became a recluse to the house. Don't worry, I have been back to work since December, and I have nearly regained my former position and salary, so I am good and require no assistance. The second question would be, how do I feel about the sentencing? That is something that is harder to answer, because no matter what the sentence, nothing will bring back my beloved children. Do I think she should have gotten the death penalty? No, I do not. She wanted to die, and after 9 years of giving her what she wanted, when she wanted it, I was not going to give her another thing. Do I think the life sentence will have any appreciable effect on her? I don't know. One thing she always stressed for the entire time that I knew her was that she lived her life without any regrets. Even after I caught her cheating on me, she continued to say she had no regrets. As for the ex-in-laws, they continue to be a problem to this day. Shortly after everything happened, they changed the locks in the home I was renting from them, with my property still inside. After trying to civilly negotiate the return of the property, it was required that I involve law enforcement. That is an ongoing legal battle. A member of the family accused me of stealing property I had purchased from them prior to the death of the children and threatened to take action against me unless I paid double what I already paid them.
I'm sorry, are you fucking kidding me? Your piece of shit daughter kills her fucking kids and you're gonna fuck over their dad? What kind of sick fucking people do you have to be?
I alerted the authorities, and as far as I know, that is resolved. They continue to make visiting my children's grave difficult. During the one-year anniversary, they sat in their truck and just watched me the whole time I was visiting the grave. Because of that, I don't visit the grave as often as I would like to. If I can impart on you something that I've learned through all of this, it is that you should always take the time to be with the ones you love. It doesn't matter if they're asking you to read The Porky Little Puppy for the millionth time or asking you to play Smash Bros., even though you both know they will wipe the floor with you every time. Just do it because you never know what time will be the last time. Always make sure they know how much you love them. I had the fortune that the last thing my children ever heard me say was, I love you, good night, and I will see you in the morning. End quote.
I was on the verge of fucking tears when you were reading that update. It's so sick. So sick. Like, because I'm sure he never thought, oh, I'm bringing forward this divorce. She could potentially be a dangerous person. Clearly, she never had violent tendencies before this. She just fucking snapped and killed her kids just so he couldn't have them.
And then, like, she tried to kill herself. But how was it she was successful in stabbing two other people in the neck?
Did she try to kill herself?
Well, yeah, she stabbed herself in the neck. Well,
Doesn't mean anything.
I know, what I'm implying is that, like, but she couldn't successfully do it to herself.
Yeah, that seems more like a narcissistic kind of thing, in my opinion. At first, when he said that, I was like, is she going to fucking try and frame him? Because some people do that, obviously. But I was like,
not enough I mentioned it, but she hid the knife in Tyler's room.
Yeah, that's really sick. That's really fucking sick.
Like, she played the whole
thing. Oh, 100%. Like, originally I was like, electric chair. Even though I am, like, staunchly against the death penalty. But cases like this just make me... But he's right. That's what she wants.
Yeah.
It's to die. Don't fucking give it to her. Mm-hmm. I hope she fucking suffers.
I don't understand hating your partner more than you love your kids.
Oh, 100%. It doesn't make any fucking sense. Like, literally doesn't make any fucking sense.
And I guess one thing that this case proves is that even if you think you're, like, in a good relationship, the most dangerous time to, like, leave an abusive relationship... No, the most dangerous time in an abusive relationship is when you try to leave.
Yes. Yep. Even if, like, she wasn't, as far as I know, physically abusive, but she was very clearly manipulative, which is abuse. You should not be manipulating your partner, obviously.
A cheater, a gaslighter. Like,
that he literally has a test. She's like, it's the first time. And it's like, you must be really fucking stupid. Because if he has your text messages, you dumb fuck, don't you think, maybe he has all the other ones too? And would know. No, and then, oh, yeah. And then, did you send pictures? No. Well, they're right here. It was just his first time. Sends him pictures again. Are you fucking stupid? He's watching your text messages. And you don't even think, if I'm going to do this, maybe I should get a burner phone. You stupid bitch. And then, I actually meant to send them to you. That was an accident. The audacity. The fucking audacity.
I mean, at that point, she probably knew, like, what's he gonna do?
Oh my god! I'm very riled up now.
I know.
I'm very angry.
Do you want to, like, take a second while I share my thoughts?
Share your thoughts. Go for it.
So, I think the sentencing was fair. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she's not going to live 120 years.
No.
Part of me thinks she should have gotten more. Like, I feel like it would have been purely symbolic, and, like, a talkie phone plays with, like, emotion.
Yeah.
But if she had gotten, like, 80 or 90 years per kid, because they could have had, like, 80 or 90 years.
To live. Yeah, that's fair.
I truly don't understand, like I said, hating your partner more than you love your kids.
Yeah.
Like, neither of us have kids.
No.
But I've heard so many parents say that, like, they don't know a love like that until they've had kids. So yeah. I can't imagine not having,
like,
that.
I know how much I love my fucking cat.
Same! And, like, I could never kill Oscar to spite someone. Like,
never.
I don't understand.
Literally never. But then again, we're not that mentally ill. Thank you.
But yes. And, like, oh, I can't even imagine being one of the original commenters on his post. Being like, leave her. Or, like, whatever.
But they're right.
Like, they it's were right, the but at the same time.
Unfortunately, it just doesn't work out the way that it should all the time. Unfortunately, this happens more often than we would like to think about.
So, if you liked this, leave us a review.
Pretty please. Follow us on Instagram, BeautifulButDeadlyPod. Email us. Hold on, sorry. I just, like buffered for a second. Email us at BeautifulButDeadlyPodcast@gmail.com. With anything. Literally anything.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
I'll see you next time.